Coming this Easter Sunday, sacred music for the Easter season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. Coming Easter Sunday at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Think war on women actually helps the dialogue? Is it a little overstretched?
The focus of the Republican Party on turning back the clock for women really is something that's unacceptable and shows how callous and insensitive they are towards women's priorities.
That's an excerpt from Candy Crowley of CNN's State of the Union and Democrat National Committee Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They're talking about a term of art now that's found its way into the media, dealing largely with reproductive health. That's the term that the media will use. It's kind of got some legs to it. War on women. It has that alliteration. It's short. It's sweet. And it says just enough to get you listening. And it sounds like it must be true, turning back the clock on women and their right to choose and things like that. Joining us to talk about the term and about the war on women, Dr. Jennifer Roback Moore. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
I'll ask you the question that Candy Crowley asked of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Do you think that the term, as it's being used in the media and by women's rights advocates, war on women, is a bit overwrought?
Todd, war against women is completely over the top. And furthermore, it's completely misleading, because really what we have here is a war among women. It's a war by the so-called feminist left against the more tradition-minded women who really are, there are an awful lot of us, you know, there are an awful lot of women who do not sign on with the whole radical feminist, Marxist kind of agenda that the leftist feminists have been proclaiming forever. So really it's a way of them trying to co-opt half of the human race into their agenda. And, you know, an awful lot of us are not going along quietly. And I think if you look back, all the way back to Phyllis Schlafly, beating back the ERA, the so-called Equal Rights Amendment, stay-at-home mothers, women who want to be married, women who want their husbands to be working and taking care of them financially, women who want collaboration in the home, those women have always understood that the so-called feminist movement was directed against them. And the comments that you just played play right into that. It's not a war against women. It's a war among women. And it's about time that people who stand for man-woman marriage and differentiation among the sexes, that we stood up for ourselves and say, hey, we count as women too. And we want to have our voice and our perspective heard in public discussion.
Is it also a term that's dishonest in that it makes it sound like some group of men got together, or maybe a few women were in there, kind of unwittingly in there, and they planned this assault on women, and the poor feminists are just trying to defend themselves? The way I read the events of the last couple months, the first shot was not fired by women like yourself who want to see Catholic conscience respected in law and things like that.
That's right. That's right. No question about it. No question about it. It's a fundamentally dishonest term. The war against women is something that is a term that's been invented to co-opt people and to intimidate people basically into thinking, oh, well, I don't want to make war against my mom and my grandma or my wife, so I better be quiet and sit down and go along with what Deborah Wasserman Schultz or whatever her name is have told me that I must do now. You know, I mean, it's a term of intimidation, and it conveys actually no meaning except sit down and shut up. That's the basic meaning. So, I think it's very dishonest.
Is it part of, it sounds like from what you said in your first answer, it's part of kind of the general modus operandi of the radical feminism?
It's part of the modus operandi of the lifestyle left, Todd. What the lifestyle left, well, actually the left generally, what they like to do is make a lot of noise that's designed to keep you from actually thinking through the issues. So if you listen to the whole of the 2.5 minute CNN interview that you compelled me to do, I mean that was your war against me, as you made me listen to 2.5 minutes of that nonsense. But if you listen to the whole thing, there's not one single actual argument. There is a lot of noise. There's a lot of emotionality put out. But you are immediately signaled as to what you're supposed to think and feel. And the idea that you might sit down and say, now, wait a second, there's something wrong with what she just said, you don't have time to work that out because she's making more, you know, sort of noise that is upsetting and emotion-driven, so that you won't think it through, so that you'll be moved on to the next thing, and your only concern is, well, how do I make this unpleasantness go away? That is a standard tactic of the lifestyle left. They do it on these so-called feminist issues. They do it on the abortion issue. They do it on the definition of marriage issues. Once your listeners figure out that that's what's going on, you'll be in a lot better position to defend against it and to deflect it, because you can realize it's just hot air. There isn't really an actual argument there.
You said earlier that it's instead of being a war against women, it's a war among women. This is essentially a divide in the American female population. What are the lines in that divide?
Well, that's a really good question, because, for example, before Rick Santorum dropped out of the race, one of the things that you saw is that he polled very well among Republican women. He actually polled well among women. So here's a guy giving full-throated defense of traditional sexual morality, a guy who's basically saying the sexual revolution has been a failure and has hurt people, has made people unhappy. You know, that's Rick Santorum's message, or a lot of it. You know, women thought that was great. There were a whole lot of Republican women who thought that was just great, who agreed with that, who bought that. And I think what the divide is whether you believe that human sexuality is something that properly belongs inside marriage, and whether you believe that child rearing properly belongs inside marriage, or whether you think that sex is basically a recreational activity that's usually sterile, and you can pretty much do anything you want, and the constraints are just constraints for no reason, you know. In my observation, there are an awful lot of people who participated in the sexual revolution and who regret it. And those are a lot of your people who are, you know, who like Rick Santorum and who don't want anything to do with the Democratic Party, you know. And you probably have seen this too, Todd. If you hang around social conservative circles, you will see this is the only part of the conservative movement that has a lot of women involved in it. You know, if you look at fiscal conservatives or national defense conservatives or American founding conservatives, any of the different groups of conservatives, they're usually all guys. But if you're talking about the social issues, man, the women are not only out there, they're running it. They're running things, you know. And so this is the point that CNN and the Democratic Party can't seem to wrap their minds around, that a lot of women are really fed up with the whole sexual revolution.
Two quick final questions. How is freedom of conscience, or more generally religious freedom, mixed up in all of this?
Well, that's a great question, because there are two views of human sexuality going around our culture. One view is a traditional view, which says that sex and childbearing belong inside marriage. And the churches, the traditional churches, are holding to that belief and are, teaching that and trying to help their members to live by it, and basically saying, yeah, this is inconvenient sometimes, but it's worth the effort to live this way. The other view of human sexuality is that it's basically a sterile recreational activity, and you get to do anything you want. Well, those two views really, in a way, can't coexist. And so the reason the conscience protection issues are coming up is that the lifestyle left that believes that sex is a recreational activity, they feel it's necessary to squeeze out everybody who disagrees with them. Because, by golly, if there's one little old lady with a Bible standing around saying, you know what, you really shouldn't be doing this, you really should keep your fly zipped until you get married, that little old lady is an affront to them, and she's got to be shut up, you know. And so that's where the conscience protection issue comes in, because they're basically saying, we cannot tolerate this kind of dissent. We are creating our own version of a moral universe, and we're not going to argue for it. We're not going to explain why our position's better. We're just going to tell you to sit down and shut up and do what the government tells you about your health care, insurance, and all the other issues that we think the government should control. So that's where I think the battle lines are drawn, Todd.
Finally, then, how should we respond when someone is using the term war on women while discussing that HHS mandate? About a minute before we wrap it up.
Well, I think if somebody says that the HHS mandate is a war against women, you should ask them whether they think women are religious people or not, and whether women as religious believers have any conscience rights at all. And ask them if they think that the majority of people sitting in Christian churches are women or are men. And if they don't know the answer, that means they haven't been in a Christian church in a long time, because the fact is most people in churches are women, as you know perfectly well, Pastor. And so if somebody says the war against women has something to do with the HHS mandate, you really have to say, well, which women are we talking about? The war against religious conscience is itself a war against women, and we're not going to take it anymore.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. You can check out the blog on the website for the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jen taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, you're welcome, Todd.
When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, it's the 10th of April. We are back with you live. I got a question for you the entire hour just for your answer to this question. What's your favorite Easter hymn and why? I want to know what of all the Easter hymns that you know from your hymnals, the ones you've sung from your childhood, which of them is your favorite? You got to pick one. I'm sorry, that's kind of the way a favorite question works. What's your favorite Easter hymn and why? Now, you can give us a call in the next hour and let us know what that hymn is. We'll be playing as many of them as we can for you, so we get a little flavor of all those Easter hymns coming off the Easter celebration and only in the very beginning days of the Easter season. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. What's your favorite Easter hymn and why? Audio open lines in hour two of Issues Etc. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or you can tell us what your favorite Easter hymn is and why at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Your answer to that question, what's your favorite Easter hymn and why, in hour two of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.